Well, hello everyone. Welcome back. So, we heard when we were over on the other side what we're going to be doing today. I want to ask, before we get started, questions. Does everybody understand what we're doing? Does it make sense, what we're doing?
Yeah.
No? Oh. Well, it's okay if it doesn't.
I just missed the last one, so
okay.
I don't want to hold back the class, though.
So you missed the June 6th meeting, which that one was
safety.
All about safety. So you're not actually missing anything for this meeting. Because this meeting is a continuation of the April 29th meeting, which you were at. I remember you. Because we put the tags up on the wall.
Okay.
And so then what happened were these were three of the continua that we started hearing. Remember when we were voting and we were saying, like, what was important to us, those types of things? Remember those? These are the three beginning, initial. There are others that we're going to be discussing. So it's quality of life, defining just big enough, and right size. Those were words that we kept hearing throughout all of the groups. Defining just big enough and the right size. Then there was also discussion of air quality and impact of noise. Okay? So those are the three continua we're going to discuss today. We did, and this is set up to do basically a straw man vote and figure out, are we all in alignment?
Is there any way to move me closer to John?
Okay. Hang on 1 second. I'll be right back.
Brian, do you want to...
Sure.
Can you continue on?
I can start to do that.
Am I ready to get closer to the speaker? Yeah, that's way better. Thank you.
So has everyone had a chance to review this particular continua? Are there any questions about it? Because I'll be glad to go through it, but if there aren't any, we would like to hear from each and every one of you briefly and for you to put your vote on the continuum.
No, that'd be too embarrassing. Now I'm in Hawaii.
We'll fix this.
I'll get some quality time on the ocean.
And again, the continuum goes from decreasing capacity all the way up to significant growth. It talks about additional gates, additional emplacements, the size of the terminal. What you'll see here is our current condition has been placed on here approximately where we are currently in today's state.
Jackie Merrill.
Mona Newton. So,
Harrison Sachs.
So,
and these are the commercial improvements, right?
That's correct. Yeah. We're only talking commercial at this time. This
is, yeah. So we have nothing, no way to gauge 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 apartments.
Not at this time.
At this time.
We're really
so
focused.
We're all clear.
Jane, you're always really good about bringing that up because general aviation represents a huge component of the Bacon County Airport.
I think we've just
airport.
Seen it Roger, yeah. last month.
That's right. Exactly right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. We just have to be clear that we're acting in a vacuum.
And the only thing I would add, when you're voting, this is not something, this is just to gauge values and how close we are in each other's values and where we have gaps and where we need to focus energy. So when you're voting, it's something that will change. We'll have another bite of the apple coming up. And with that, I believe we can begin to vote and have each and every one of us come up, give a short an indication on why you're placing the vote where you are, and we'll go from there. So the first, is there a volunteer? I'll just throw it out there, and if not, we may start with the closest person, unless there's other discussion that needs to happen. Would you like to talk about it first? Because I don't see a lot of it, people wanting to
rushing.
I think it's obvious that many of us haven't fully made up our mind.
Yes, understood.
We don't have an immediate, like, oh, here's what I want.
Understood.
I mean, I think we're here to kind of understand what the impacts and ramifications are.
Yeah.
So to me, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse a little bit.
Yeah.
But I guess for initial impressions.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm happy to give it a shot.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Well, let's make sure we clarify with Rich. I'll take you up on that in just a second. But we had
It was not a question, more of a point for discussion, is that actually, even to accommodate current conditions, we would have to accommodate for limited growth, because the current building is not feeding the current conditions.
Mm-hmm. So we're backwards. We're starting out.
Well, just something to take into consideration when you're looking at accommodating for limited growth is you're actually accommodating for the current situation first.
Mm-hmm.
And then to accommodate for significant growth, you may go
Beyond. It's a good recognition. I think you're right. There would need to be something done in order to maintain current, especially from an airport experience standpoint, which this committee is about. Thank you. And Jeff, I agree. We're pushing a little bit right now. We're trying to move the needle in this public process and understand that's creating some anxiety with people to actually put something out.
I think I have a good idea of what my opinion, but Rich, you volunteered, so.
Well, no, I'm not, because I'm needing the fall guy for you all, and because we're all in the same boat.
Tip of the spear.
And John, we can't agree with you more.
The GA aspect.
It was pretty profound this week. I bike by there every day. So I'm Rich Berkeley, and I'm with the skiing company. I often assume that we would be over on the far right side, but we're actually very satisfied with existing conditions, more or less, as far as air emplacements. I'm not speaking for the airport facilities, nor am I speaking for the ability to park aircraft, and I did not visit the terminal on whatever January 5th when you guys had it so packed in there, but I plan to do that this year. I think that's very important for all of us to see. I bike, my commute on my bike path goes right by the airport every day. And I was laughing because I was like, there was 11 planes in queue at 7:30. Now today is, what's today? It's Thursday? Yeah, so this would be on Monday. And I'm like, holy, that's amazing. I was like, I should have taken a picture of it. And that's what you're referring to. And there was not a commercial flight on that.
Totally astonishing.
And I was like, okay, this is a busy airport. And then we look at commercial, which is where we're all kind of automatically default to. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, what do we want? Reasonable air service for business, reasonable air service for us. I mean, this is one of the most convenient airports to fly in and out of the world in every day that I go through it. So I kind of was thinking, like, at first I was like, well, right here is where I want to be, but I know that's not probably physically possible, so I put it right there. That paints the whole picture, which is more or less the same as we have right now from a commercial aspect, with the ability for the 1% or 2% for future growth, which is just the plane size or whatever that we have going on. So,
is that your personal opinion or the ski company's opinion?
My boss was the one who was coming through here, and I think we are all basically, we call it status quo. We do not want to step back. We're not necessarily looking for any kind of extreme growth. We know that there is a percent or two of growth just because of the aircraft, but I think that's going to be the represented position for all four of our representatives on these committees. But this is my personal opinion at this point in time. I don't know if we have an actual statement from the skiing company. But it'll be we call it the status quo kind of position. We would like to see maintain the existing level of air service with the existing level of carriers and the existing more or less competition for price structure as well.
So stay the same. But accommodate what you currently have.
And just one question to understand, because from the ski code, fact. Do we, in the Valley at this point, subsidize any of the airlines to bring their planes in?
Zero.
What
is the question?
Is there any guarantee?
We're not distracted by that.
Many of the resort areas in America subsidize the airlines bringing service in.
Not many. Most. Eagle, for instance, Vail Resorts pays airlines or Eagle Airport. I'm not sure how it works out. We're one of the few that don't.
We used to.
Yes.
Did we? Okay.
We used to years ago in order to get them up.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they found out how lucrative the Aspen market was, and we no longer had to subsidize them. I'm talking like 15 years ago.
No, I don't doubt that, and I haven't really been involved in it. So we just
thought that was a useful fact for us to understand. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So right now, the market here is so desirable, and it is so year-round, that there's no necessary guarantee. So what like Steamboat, for instance, Hayden in the winter, Steamboat Resort Corporation says that if you don't sell this many seats, we're going to buy those, we'll pay you the difference, basically. So they're called employment guarantees or something similar. We don't do those here. And we are on, I'll call it joint marketing. Like, for instance, we'll do a deal with United throughout the season where we're bringing people for X dollars and put a lip tip or something like that.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for breaking the ice.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Since I was already had a big mouth going. So I think I'm very much in the same camp as Rich. My name is Jeff Bay. I'm with Hotel Aspen, the Molly Gibson Lodge, so kind of looking from the lodging perspective.
And if you want, you can go vertically or down too.
So, I mean, I believe that our current level of service is very robust, but I think it's handled very inefficiently, and the experience is very poor. We could reduce congestion. It could be a more pleasant experience. So I think accommodating certainly for the current level of growth in a more efficient manner is paramount. I do think that there's opportunity for a little bit of growth. And I think as air technology and as our valley grows, there might be more demand internally for the valley to want to utilize air transportation and having that and making sure that it's affordable and economical, and also to reduce automobile traffic and to make it more attractive for people here to fly here rather than drive here, I think would be good to be able to have maybe a few more flights or have some flexibility. So I manage two hotels in Sun Valley, Idaho. And for those of you that are familiar with the Haley Airport, they went through a major redesign, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. And they have a beautiful airport, but they can't take any more flights than they currently did, even if they wanted to put some more money towards subsidizing flights, because they've only got one TSA checkpoint. They've got two gates. They can't. They've got a huge waiting room that's twice as big as the Aspen Airport, but it's limited by two gates, and they can only put two planes out there at a time. So they kind of went backwards, and I think, you know, so it's not about size making it bigger. It's making the most out of the size that's there and making sure that it's the most efficient. So I'm not a big proponent of huge growth, but I think I would say somewhere along with Rich, maybe a little bit, you know, maybe moderate growth. Yeah, maybe would be the better kind of phrase, if that makes sense.
It was. Any questions for Jeff before we...
Thank you.
Yeah. Very efficient. Thank you very much. Is there someone else? Okay, thank you.
I'm kind of in the same camp as Jeff, whereas I'm going to go a little bit right of Rich, because I think we need to leave room for what happens in 20 years, and also the current situation is so bad that we need to really get. Yeah. So I don't go.
And you're needing a little extra room to move around.
Yes.
Brian, would you like me to go next?
We've got a volunteer here, and then you're next. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello.
Thank you.
You know, I'm going to lean over on this end here a little bit, because as I am in construction and I know how projects work, that they approve one project and then they value engineer it out and take things out and whatnot, I think I'd want us to reach a little bit higher, so when they actually do take away something during this process, I'm not being cynical, I'm just saying, you know, or maybe they're going to change out materials or whatnot. But and also I think that well, I was going to ask you a question. What's the current growth of this town? Or does that...
0.8% according to the...
Yeah, and that was the region.
0.8%
region.
Was less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Yeah.
There's hardly any growth.
But that's Pipkin?
I'll go up here.
No, that's the Marine Corps Valley.
Yeah. That's the valley? But, yeah. I don't know if the 3% is going to do it, but I would be... Actually, let's put it here, and then I think it's going to move down there once it's actually built. I know we're doing all this, but really.
Thank you. But to clarify, the region you're referring to includes all the way from, like, gypsum to silk, correct? Because there was some discussion as to whether or not that really reflected the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to start that discussion, but just to make sure, because I think that that's maybe... Yeah. Lesser percentage than if you confined it just to Glenwood to Aspen.
And are we 20 years or are we 30 for this thing? For the life of the proposed life?
We're talking 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
I'm just writing myself a note based on what you said. And Jay.
Thank you. I'm going to put mine on the current condition, because my issue, and that's really who I'm representing, are the people who commute from this airport for their livings. And my problem with the experience is how many planes don't get here and how many people get dumped in Denver with no means of getting here. And I've been anxious that we haven't gotten to those questions. Because I asked actually at the beginning, remember, Brian, the first meeting, do we have numbers from United for how many people got dumped in Denver and had no way to get here, and nobody's been able to provide those numbers. They exist, but it's probably thousands of people. And so the experience issue that you've been raising, Jeff, I think very thoughtfully, everybody has, when we limited the system to the Aspen Airport, we're not actually looking at the passengers who come here. We to really understand the experience of an airline, a plane, and I just came in here twice, both times disasters. This year already I've had 12 flights in and out. 10 of them had difficulties. So I wouldn't say I'm bewitched or I'm. This is the experience of most of us who commute for a living in and out of here. But I just think the important thing at some point is that we get into a conversation about the actual experience of all the people trying to get to Aspen and back. And for the ski company, for the lodging companies, I am really sympathetic to the people that you're catering to. It's our living for most of the people who live up here.
Jay, out of the 10 flights, what were the reasons?
Three were mechanical.
Okay.
A couple of the planes just never arrived. One, the crew overslept. I mean, some things I've almost never encountered before.
So Jay, let me ask you then, because I get what you're saying, and I totally empathize with your comments, but I guess what I'm trying to understand is none of those reasons have anything to do with the airport itself. We could have an airport as big as LAX, but the same number of flights would be diverted.
I'm right with you, Jeff.
Yeah.
I understand that this is off track. But okay. I do think if we're talking about the next 30 years of human beings' experience coming to Aspen or trying to leave Aspen, that we have to have some understanding of the people that are providing services in and out of the... And their issues getting in and out of here.
So making sure that there's ancillary services that support diversions or other processes to ensure that the transportation...
As an example, I've been commuting from here since 2001 permanently and 1993 in and out. And we had no bus service. We were just dumped. So if it didn't work, if we couldn't get in for weather, whatever it was, you were dumped. Now at least, occasionally, there's a bus from if you get dumped at Grand Junction. But there's no way to get out of Denver if you're a commuter. There's no way. The people that serve us here, I'm saying, are not serving the experience of the people coming and going from Aspen because they don't provide a means to get out of Denver. I think that's an important question if we're looking at the experience of people coming in and out of here.
Thank you. Cindy, Gary?
Yeah. The reason I put this far down, I don't really disagree with the rest of you, is that the current experience is terrible, even out on the plains. So adding more bad experience just doesn't appeal to me. But I don't disagree with you. Let me just say that and spirit of community that I think you're making lots and lots of sense. Not that I need to, but I do think so.
Can I ask you, do you think that, I mean, is the reason you don't want to add anything more, is it strictly because of the airlines?
Yeah.
Or is it
the current,
our terminal, you know, the terminal?
No, I just think the current, current problem of the experience of people getting in and out of Aspen on airplanes is lousy.
Okay.
And therefore,
so
if
you want to decrease so that it gets better for people.
I just think the more the problem of fixing the terminal doesn't change the experience of the airlines.
Okay.
I understand that we don't control United or Delta or American, and we can't change what they do. I'm not being naive.
I know.
I'm just trying to say that I think that The experience begins when you get on a plane someplace to come to Aspen, or you're trying to get on a plane in Aspen to get out. And that the experience is more than the physical experience of the terminal. That make, I mean, that's, I think that's an important
question. So we need a contingency for when the flights are delayed or canceled for any reason, is kind of what you're saying. Some,
well, we have
a secondary mechanism.
Yeah, and I and one of the cancellations was because of general aircraft. It was just too many planes. You know, as we know from our other meetings, the FAA rules are... Oh, I'll shut up.
You're good. I've got another question.
Okay, but the FAA rules, so you all know, so we all remember, there is no... There's no place for commercial airlines to go ahead of private aircraft. Everybody's equal in the sky. So when you have 250, 300, what would you guess, Rich, we had over 4th of July? I bet we had that many. Anybody know? I mean, how many private aircraft we had in here on the 4th of July?
We're still getting the numbers.
Yeah.
How many?
We're still getting the numbers.
But what would you guess? Could you give us a guess?
It was quite a bit.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
More than 100?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
More than
200?
I know private aircraft alone on one day was like 160.
So it could have been 300 on the ground?
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is that the commercial airliners, that are the passengers are coming to ski and to the hotels, if there are too many private planes coming in, they don't get in.
It's delayed.
That's the way the rules work.
So, Jay, I think Monique has a question.
Well, I was just saying that it would be nice to get more support in Denver. I agree with what he's saying. I used to fly every other week for a week for 5 years in construction. And it wasn't an issue necessarily for me. It was just an eye roll, I suppose. You know, but because I think I got in like 80% of the time. I know that you have a different experience. But this was 5 years, 26 times a year. You know, kind of thing.
That's good.
But maybe they've gotten worse now. But, you know, give me a voucher so I can deadhead a car up to Aspen. That's a simple thing.
Yes.
You know.
Or even better, provide a bus. Which
well, they do. They did provide
only
a bus.
Only from Grand Junction, but not Denver.
And that's Delta, not
Denver. Maybe you got one from
they
Denver.
They had one in Denver. They had, well, I don't know,
okay.
Isha, whatever. But there's no way I'm getting on that bus, you know, at that point, because you don't want to be around like any more people, and if somebody could give you a voucher to deadhead, even give you half off of it, great.
Well, I completely agree, and I think that is a critical experience question that we get to at least have an opinion on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. So historically from the airport guys, I know that Bill Tomsich has mentioned that every year we've shown improvement in terms of successful enplanements and that the amount of diversions have lessened. Is that true, or has it been historically kind of a set number of diversions?
You look at this winter, this was a bad winter. I mean, we got
a lot of it depends on weather.
Yeah, the weather is...
Sure, but just on average, in aggregate, over the years, have we seen an improvement, or is it still about the same?
They're getting more efficient, yeah.
But you see, counting enplanements, even if it's delayed until the next day... And half the people don't get on the plane. They're still counting that, aren't they? Because they're still saying that they've gotten you to your destination.
So that which they haven't, essentially.
Right.
Even if they're late.
In this document, there's the canceled flights percentages, and as of 2018, 4.2% of the flights canceled or delayed.
But what they don't tell you is that how many were heavily delayed, so you missed your connections. That's the problem with that statistic. And that's essentially a failure.
I can't agree more if we can... I don't think it's necessarily a function of the size of the airport, I think, but getting this on someone's agenda so that there's a contingency plan, certainly would be something this group should be doing.
Yeah, look, we have to deal with weather. We understand that. That's part of the experience. But what do we do for people that are trying to get here or trying to get out? Do we give them some... Is there some reasonable... alternative. That's
Delta's
the question.
The contingency plan has been the most customer service friendly, and that's the junction bus.
And the
United
nice thing
does
is
it as well.
Yeah. And
United does it for the long hauls.
Right.
From junction. And the reason they do not do it from Denver is they will go ahead and rebook you to Aspen. Uh-huh. In their experience, by the time they get a bus together, the Aspen passenger is a very educated passenger. And when they go to get a bus, everybody is gone, poof. And they have two people for a 40-seat bus. It is not lucrative. This has been going on for years. So there's no buses from Denver. They will rebook you. The problem is that over the holidays, if you get canceled on the 26th of December, the next available flight is January 15th.
That's right.
Nobody's going to wait around for 2 weeks. They're going to drive. They're going to find their own way. So the airline's hands are a little bit tied. You know, it's cost versus airport experience. From my understanding, we're on the airport experience group, and what you guys don't know is I've worked every single position at that airport. I've worked the private terminal, I've worked the fire truck, I've plowed the runway, and I currently, don't yell at me, work for the airlines. So I have a very good understanding of this airport. I've worked there since 1986. The one big thing that I wanted to bring up in this group is we're airport experience. I listened to all the videos, all the audio in the last month, so I'm up to date on everything that's happened. Only twice have I heard in any meeting anybody mention about the airport workers. The people who work at the airline, the car rental people, the airport workers, the cafeteria workers. No one has a working sink. If you're a passenger and you're in the bathroom and somebody comes in to wash their dishes, how are you going to feel? How do you think the worker feels? So that's one of the main things I definitely want to bring up on right size and everything.
Great.
We currently have outgrown this current airport. We're at 47,000 square feet. Minimum. Realistically, if you're looking at an airport, a terminal, 80,000 is not too small.
You're going to, we need your vote then in just a minute. I do want to clarify with Jay. In two sentences, can you correlate then what you talked about, the experience with the size again? Because I'm with Rich, I'm still not getting
all
the correlation.
All I'm saying is this. The current emplanements are not providing a proper experience for the passengers.
Okay.
So if I were suggesting growth, I can't do that because the current number of planes aren't operating properly.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Got it.
So you're adding more, which simply means to get
sounds like you had a prelude.
I have a whole bunch that I want to say, but there's so much wrong with that airport for the vendors that it's pathetic. There's 120 people on these committees. Mm-hmm. 31 have taken the airport tour.
I've taken
it. I'm sorry, that's pretty pathetic to me. Okay. If we're doing an airport terminal experience, 120 people have to do that tour. You need to see what's going on behind the scenes. You have to look at all the cords and the equipment that we have to walk over so that we don't trip and break a wrist, break a leg. You have to understand the ins and outs, all the actual issues that we have to deal with. We need more covered storage. I'm a proponent of a two-story. I don't know if everybody is. They can maybe do it like they did the airport operations center, where it's hidden on the other side because it's kind of undergrade. But we need more covered storage because it would really help the airport experience, because who do you think is giving the passengers the airport experience? You've got a ramp person who's out there on a hot summer day dealing with jet fuel, dealing with, you know, you're just hot, you're sweaty. You have to go to the bathroom. Guess where you get to go? Next to the passengers, because we don't have our own bathroom. I'm not a huge proponent of growth. I like the way it is. The problem is, and I've even tried this, having an inside knowledge, to get the airlines to spread their flights out. Because that's the main, we call it happy hour. Between 10 and 2, we get 50% of our flights during the winter season. Between 10 and 2. The staffing model is to be staffed for the schedule. So what happens when it snows? Are we on schedule? We're only staffed for schedule. So if you all of a sudden have 8 flights land at once and we're staffed for 1, where do you think the passenger experience goes? So I'm more right in this area. I want to put it almost on top of her.
Yes.
I don't, I've been here since 86. We have tried to keep the valley from growing. When I moved here, Willits was a cow farm. There was nothing there. Blue Lake just started. And we were like, who's going to commute from down here? And the valley's just grown. You can try to control growth. It's not going to happen. The clientele that flies in here won't go backward to a prop plane. They want a jet plane. So if you want to maintain your same standard of living, even at the current growth, we're going to have to be looking at larger planes. They're quieter. They're more emissions efficient. They're more fuel efficient. That's the main reason they got rid of the Bach 146. Who was here and remembers that? No, the Bach 146.
What was it?
A four-engine overwing.
It was a four-engine jet plane that was built specifically for high altitude, and it was the workhorse.
Okay.
Was it the one that made the sound when,
Yeah, when they lower the flaps, yeah.
Yeah, you hear that. Like, oh my God, we're crashing. But really, just the flaps.
Looked like a bumblebee. Mm-hmm.
It was like this.
But it was so fuel inefficient, they had to get rid of it.
Oh, it was cute.
Cindy, thank you. I appreciate it. No, that's good insight.
Oh, that's
and so, just
great.
So you know, John Keeney takes us all to the sink, the one sink that you all share,
yep.
the plywood in the back, and
yep.
makes a big production out of it during the tour. It was very
well,
funny.
I don't know if he brings up about the bathrooms or anything
no.
else.
I think yes, his tour is quite comprehensive.
Yeah,
it's totally
and
good.
Cindy, just in all fairness, I went on the airport tour well over a year ago before this committee was even formed
uh-huh.
because this issue has been going on. There was a focus group that was engaged at the Airport Operations
That's
Center
right.
well over a year ago. There were many people at that. I'd venture to say that many of those folks chose to volunteer to be a part of this committee because they understood some of those challenges. I get. So I don't want to, and I think John's done a good job at trying to make sure that component. But I do want to share that we're currently going through, and Rich probably knows this, we're looking at redevelopment for a couple of our hotels. And in doing that, we're looking at back-of-the-house spaces versus guest spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to sacrifice all the back-of-the-house stuff and put people in cubicles and minimize the amount of space. But understanding that the satisfaction and the morale and the ability of those employees to do their job well directly impacts their ability to give great guest service.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all in full agreement with you,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate the hard work that those folks do and very appreciative of it. So,
thank you.
Yes, me too.
Cheers.
Don't beat me up. I just have more knowledge.
Gary.
No, I'm going to pass right now. I'm just listening.
Did we change your mind?
Isn't there somebody back here?
Nope.
Oh, am I the last one?
The last one.
I thought there was a whole crowd there.
Okay. These are visitors.
Oh. Well, I'm tempted to refer back to my comments at the last meeting. And they centered around what I thought was the focus of our airport experience working group being going to and through and landing at and departing from the airport, and what can we do as a group to advise the powers that be above us regarding what our vision might be. And so far, I've been frankly disappointed that we've never focused on it. You know, we're halfway through this process, and you know, even if we look at today's continua, you know, we're still being asked the general questions instead of the more specific questions. And Jay hits the experience, I think, perfectly on the experience and the problems with the weather and the airline and the traffic, and that's part A. And then part B is everything else, the experience of the airport, the parking, the transportation to the airport, what's the airport supposed to look like, how are the counters set up, how are the restaurants, what Cindy's talking about. And I think that we as a subcommittee probably have more influence over this part of it than
Jay's part of it. Because Jay's part of it is not controlled by anybody in this room. It's going to be controlled mostly by the airlines. And so if you if I look at it as Jay's right, and I look at it as Cindy's right, where are we spending our time? I think we've wasted a lot of time because the higher ups have had us focused on all these questions and haven't given us a chance to even get into what our vision might be. And I think Cindy's probably has the most expertise to share as hands-on. You know, we all see it from traveling through the airport as consumers, and we all have our horror stories. And you know, I think if we focus on the airport itself, getting through the airport, landing, getting through, and departing the airport, I think if we focus on that, I think our time will be better served. If you combine that with the fact that we're being asked to project 30 years down the road, okay, well, who's been here more than 30 years? Just raise your hands. Okay, so 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I recall picking up my skis in a garage type thing where you pull the door open.
You help yourself.
Yeah, that's where the skis came out. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, 30 years ago, who would have expected to see, three airlines back then? It was the United's Vomit Comet and Rocky Mountain Scareways. Mm-hmm. we were thrilled to have them.
Yep, and then Aspen Mountaineer for the short time.
Right. You know, and then I also recall the controversy over the United's BA-146. The controversy, I recall the commissioners setting up an on-site visit, and if I'm not mistaken, they were all told to look this way because this very loud airplane was going to come right at them, and instead it came right over the top of them, and they didn't even know it was there. So, you know, we need to focus on 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road. And so, you know, I don't think where we are right now, size-wise, makes any sense at all. Even if there aren't as many gates. I mean, if we keep the gates stagnant or the same right now, I think the airport itself has to expand, whether it's up, down, or sideways, or all three. Has to expand. I would say that I'm probably on the line at the far right with the other two green spots. So if you want to just put that, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. And I'd just like to say I don't fly as nearly as much as all of you guys, but I've had the best experiences at Aspen Airport to the point that I will just go there anytime. Yeah. Just clearing TSA is so much more pleasant. Oh. And it saves you like
they're nice.
Oh, stuff. Yes.
So, you know, and it's
they're people you know actually.
Yeah.
Because they're community.
Yeah. So I always find it just a relief to fly out of that.
That's
and
right.
I can ride my bike and get on an international flight. I mean, mm-hmm. that to me right there is.
Right. I understand. And I fly out of Aspen, I fly out of Eagle. If I have to fly out of the third place, I'll fly out of Grand Junction. Only on the fourth list do I have to go out of Denver.
Yeah.
You know, but the airport is, I think, in its current condition, I think it's...
No question.
It just needs...
We love
the experience is only good if nothing gets in your way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if there's a snowstorm...
So, yeah.
So I want to check in with you. We're,
right there, same,
right
same place,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Any final comments or questions? We're going to move on to the next...
Sure.
Brian, I just do
yes.
hope that we will someday, for this committee, get the number of employments from the GMR Aviation.
Yes.
So we have actually an understanding of what's going on in the airport. That's a very vital...
You got that down?
But, you know,
thank
Jay,
you.
The experience I have when, you know, if it's not straight weather, the problem, I think, seems to be more along the lines of the airlines' schedule in clusters. And as soon as there's a ripple effect, things go sideways.
I'm completely in agreement with what Tony's teaching and what you're saying.
So no matter how many gates you have, they're going to still do the same thing.
It's based on connections.
Right. Somehow systems thinking. I just have to understand the system. Yeah. That's my problem.
And what can we expect? Because, I mean, it's connections to Denver, probably. No?
It's connections based on their entire system.
Okay.
And trying to massage those, even by 2 minutes one way and 1 minute the other way, they're immovable. They're flat out immovable.
They actually have been a little bit better, though, flying into Denver and holding a flight. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're late for the Aspen flight, I've missed that flight by... Mm-hmm. In previous years, but mm-hmm. now it's much better.
So the overnight flights, what's that funny name for them?
Wrong. Remain overnight.
Remain overnight, right. Are we limited to the number of spots, parking spots?
Some parking spots, and right now it is, I believe, 8.
So there are 8.
And the problem with that is to park behind another one. So a lot of times what happens is due to... without divulging internal information, sometimes there's tail swaps, and instead of this one going out, this one is supposed to go out, and now we have to physically move all those planes. So we can't stack them all the way down. It would create too much of a havoc on delayed planes, delayed passengers, potential damages. So we need a larger ramp area.
Right, no, I get that. It always seems that if you can book on the first flight out, especially on the flights that are overnight, your chances are astronomically higher than a flight that has to come in during bad weather.
Correct.
And everybody knows this.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of, you know, whether they can schedule more in late at night or not.
Mm-hmm. So, Jay, we are going to get you GA information. I have a commitment, and we're going to have those numbers for you.
That'd be wonderful.
The next one. Thank you.
And then also, Tom, we've asked the airlines for their numbers on how many they've dumped, or mm-hmm. you know, what you were asking for, and they simply won't give it to us.
I'm not surprised because it's a big number, and they don't want to admit it because it goes right to the experience of getting into asthma. I'm accepting that that's the reality. Okay.
I didn't want you to think I wasn't trying to get an answer.
To the contrary. I would have been astonished if any corporation would give that kind of information because it's against its experience.
And just to let you know, I've been on both sides because my brother was on one of those.
Yeah.
And one of the airlines that he flew, I'm appalled as to how they treated him and every other passenger on that plane. I'm appalled, and I work for him.
So we're moving on to the next continuum.
Yes.
Great.
So the next continuum is air quality. And how many of you, just real quick, have them? Because I know I stood back there. It's hard to see this. If you have your continuum, if you want one, I have extras, just so you know. So you can not have to read here, type of thing. But so the next one we're considering is air quality. Again, straw man is reduce the overall airport emissions by 30%. And then allow increased airport emissions. So those are the end, and then we have
where
the middle ones
now?
Here. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, where are we now?
Where are we now?
We don't have an actual.
Because also there's
number.
A whole generation of aircraft that are not flying here that are already meeting like the far mm-hmm. right.
Correct.
So how do
you sandbag it and say, yeah, we want to reduce 40% or whatever?
Yeah, you can.
So how can we answer the question if there's nothing to say where we are now?
So you can answer the... something to know about these is basically, as Cindy was saying, the newer generation planes, mm-hmm. they are more fuel efficient, the emissions that they put out, they're quieter, that type of thing. So you are basically... sort of going towards, if you want to reduce the emissions and that kind of thing, you are going towards that area. Something else to know, and the reason this is important, is because air quality is that the 95% is put out by the planes, which we have really no control over themselves, the actual airplane itself.
right.
type of thing. So what the other 5% is what we have control over, the facilities down on the ground.
Then why did you reference aircraft in the question? Aircraft and facilities.
Because you can choose the different, the reduced emissions, the newer generation aircraft. Does that make sense? By choosing the newer generation aircraft, it went backwards on it, I think.
And to me, where it says maintain overall, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, maintain references
Kind of maintaining what we currently have. Do you want to reduce by 15 to 20? Do you want to reduce by 20 to 30?
Right.
That type of thing.
Got it.
Okay.
But isn't this one of those questions that, gee, if you don't answer reduce overall by 20 to 30%, people look at you like you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. And so I
And again, can I, and also again, I think this is another one of these questions we shouldn't be spending any time on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And basically, there's no alternative. It's shut it down or reduce by 20 to 30%, right?
Correct. Well, it's not shut it down. It's you can maintain what you currently are producing, what you're currently are experiencing.
I think the problem, most probably not speaking for anybody else, just speaking for myself, the issue I have in trying to answer this one is we have no idea what aircraft are going to be available for this airport. And I wasn't at the June meeting because I was out of the country, but I believe there was some conversation in June, if I heard correctly, that the plane we thought might substitute was not going to be available. And so I don't think any of us really knows what kind of plane actually will come in and out of this airport at this point.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Is that right,
Brian,
or am I misunderstanding?
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the Embraer 175, but it does have the wider wingspan. Mm-hmm. So that's the new generation. You can, we do still, there are, you know, what is the one, Mitsubishi? There's CRJ 700s, which are currently not being, they're being basically phasing out type of thing.
Yeah.
But there is the Mitsubishi one, but the problem with that, as Alex Siebold mentioned, Tom, do you want to jump in here?
Well,
Or you want me to finish?
No, finish what you're saying, but I have something to add to it.
The Mitsubishi plane is the one I was interested in hearing.
Yes. No one has ordered a single one, and they can't get it to perform at a high altitude. They can't get it to do the maneuvers that is needed to come into Aspen. So it basically is unacceptable, and that's your only plane that is within your 95 feet limit.
So does this relate just in a small way to the size of the airport, that we're talking about the size of the runway? Because if we can get a bigger plane that are more fuel efficient, then, ergo, we have to have a longer runway.
Not necessarily longer.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to have more separation between the taxiway and the runway, and that's an FAA regulation for the wingspan that you have coming. So ADG-3, the group aircraft design group?
Three.
The FAA, once you are in that group, you are required by the FAA to have 80 feet between...
Taxiway,
80 feet.
80 feet
between.
Between.
And right now you only have 50?
No, we have...
No, it's a... This might help frame it. First of all, this is aspirational. These goals are aspirational. And lots of airports look at reducing emissions. This Aspen's not the only one. It's a very popular thing to look at, and there's different ways to do it. There's machinery on the ground that the airport runs or that airlines run that... You know, you're going to electric to reduce fossil fuel burning. There are airplanes, newer airplanes that are being built generally are being done under international guidelines that require them to reduce emissions as well as noise. The tendency, the trend that we're seeing is with the commercial airlines, those tend to be a little bit larger airplanes. So the wingspan and the tail height are the two things that have a direct effect on whether Pitkin County decides to make the separation between the runway and taxiway a little bit broader so that you can allow that full complement of new generation airplanes to come in. If you don't do that, you're limiting yourself more towards older airplanes that are not as fuel efficient or have the emissions reductions. That's how I see it, the rubber hitting the road on where you choose. If you're more aspirational, then that is pointing towards newer technology. And those airplanes, they can't fly in here right now.
And it's actually more fuel efficient to have a longer haul flight than a hop to Denver. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
That is correct.
And I'm kind of with Gary, because I've listened to all of the videos and the audios in the last month, so everything's fresh in my head.
Okay.
And this group has spent a lot of time on, in my opinion, items that are not airport experience.
Right.
That we have no control over.
Correct.
And we need to focus on what we've been tasked with. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure.
So to go back to kind of what Gary was saying earlier when we were talking about the last board, I did want to jump in there and say that what we are hoping, what the Pitkin County is hoping, is that once we see a vast majority is in a certain area, then we can start, okay, you guys are agreeing to, you know, and I'm not saying this is what it is. You're either agreeing to no growth and keeping the same terminal, or you are more all in line and wanting a new terminal. Once we decide what you want to do, then we can start talking, all right, well, is it a new terminal? So airport experience, what does a new terminal look like from an airport experience group area? So it is a very slow process to get there. You are not wrong at all, but we're trying to get there, and that's what tonight's meeting is really about, is to take a poll and find out where everyone really is. Do we already have an answer, an idea of what you guys want? And is it per every group, or is it just this group? Does that make more sense?
Yeah, you know, it makes sense. I frankly think that, I'll keep this to myself.
No.
I just find after I leave these meetings, asking myself why I'm even involved, because I think what's happening is there is the top committee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the people that seem to have their pictures in the papers a lot.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There are ads running in the paper of people on the.
Vision Committee or the Airport Vision? Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if you were talking about the Board of County Commissioners because they're the one, you know,
only
like
during
what we recommend.
Time do they put
I was trying to clarify.
It's
sorry.
The town stars.
Yeah. I mean, there's this whole ad campaign about the Vision Committee.
Okay.
Okay, and then there are the committees below the Vision Committee.
Uh-huh.
And we're one of them.
Yes.
Okay, so we go through all the motions and we answer all the questions and we give all the opinions that we can. And then we hand it off to them, and then they make a decision and hand it off to the county commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that sometimes questions like this are designed to elicit the final result that they want.
Okay.
Now, I've been called a lot. but I mean, here's a perfect example, okay? Who altruistically does not want to see emissions lowered? Anybody here? Who wants them higher? Nobody wants them higher. Everybody wants them lower.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, and the only way you're going to get lower emissions is by going with newer aircraft.
Would you like to come and vote?
I'll vote last, I guess. You know, so the only way you're going to get to lower emissions is to get newer commercial aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
The airlines have already stated they're not going to operate the CRJs anymore, so they're going to have to go to a new generation, and we're talking 10, 20, 30 years down the road. I would think that every subsequent development in aeronautics is going to be less emissions until we're flying electric or whatever it is, you know. So in order to get the lowest emissions, you have to go with the newest aircraft. In order to get the newest aircraft, you have to widen the damn runway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you run into the people that don't want larger jets. And that's the catch-22 that we're all in. We've all been in it for years if you've been here. You know, and so, you know, that's why you get a question like this, and then everybody's going to be in the far left, and you hand it off to them, and then they say, look, here's the reason we have to get the new aircraft, and we have to widen the runway, and we have to have to. And in the meantime, we're not talking about what the terminal should look like or the experience should look like. That's
frustrating.
I'll just stop with that.
I understand that.
So if you want, okay.
And I'm on board with him 100%.
If
we don't have to vote on this,
you have
then
no choice. I would say put me all the way at that. Reduce the overall airport emissions. What?
Somebody actually did bring that up, and the, you know, people are going to feel peer pressure to pick, and I was actually instructed to turn it around so that people could come up and vote without other people being able to see what their vote was.
Oh, I wouldn't. That wouldn't bother me at all.
Oh, okay.
Nobody in here is going to worry about it.
Okay.
Does anybody have an opposing opinion from Gary with regard to emissions?
No, in fact, I'm going to vote way over on the right.
My thought is partially...
I intend to put mine as far as the right as it's possible.
Well, that's,
you can vote for me. Please do it.
My thought is just put it right smack in the middle because we have no freaking clue.
As far as the right as possible. Thank you. That would be great. Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or we could put them all across, so our committee is all stretched out.
I agree with Cindy. Like we said early on, we don't have a clue where we are right now.
It's the S-curve debate all over again.
Yes. Yeah.
That's been going on for 4 years. Are we going to do a straight shot? Are we going to do S-curves? Nobody can decide. So 40 years later, we still have S-curves.
And we can call
our
you
descendants.
Jeffrey.
Cindy, our descendants will be...
Oh, yeah.
So let's have people vote just to get it done, then, unless there's other discussion that needs to happen.
But you're right. I mean, you're right.
That's the only vote to make.
That would be consistent with your position.
That's the only vote to make, because that gives us the most flexibility for what we can offer.
Right. And okay. Peter, that's
any other vote takes you to a self-fulfilling prophecy. Guys.
Yes.
And self-fulfilling is the word that we all understand.
I'm just saying what I see.
Okay.
So. Yeah, well, I think that's the nature of that question.
Put me in the middle. Flat dab in the middle.
Yep.
Is that flat dab in the middle?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to say
good
yes.
Enough.
Okay.
I'll take far left, please.
Me too. Far left, please.
Far left over here?
One, okay. Me too.
And I'm not worried about
the
aircraft,
okay,
but also one. The building as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, at some point, it has to be everything.
Two.
I mean, the only thing that...
And three.
And we don't even have control over it, but the airlines do, is the ground equipment.
Yes.
That's
that
the
is.
Only thing we have control over.
You're correct.
For emissions in this valley.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And they could
You're
go
correct.
To electric. The problem with electric ground equipment is it doesn't put out the same power as the gas.
Did everybody have a chance to...
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I just want to... I so respect, and Gary's brought up a lot of good points, and I'm just going to mention this is our third or fourth meeting, and we're still being presented questions that every other focus group is getting.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that's specific to the service. So it does make you feel kind of defeated, like, well, what have I actually accomplished? So that being said, if I look at this aspirationally and you're asking me to give an opinion on how we should theoretically look at the airport moving forward, I have to say far left, because I believe, not because I believe it fulfills the county commissioner's desire to bring in bigger planes, because I believe that's what we need to do rightfully and thoughtfully from a perspective to ensure that we're looking forward thinking for our environment, for our community, and to be able to embrace new technology, which will likely require some modifications.
Okay.
And I think that Aspen's always kind of considered itself the leader. And if it costs us a little bit more to have more fuel efficient, whether it be aircraft or terminal or mechanical things, then I think that's how we should look. And I think that the technology will catch up. And trust me, the aircraft manufacturers are going to do what puts money in their pocket. Mm-hmm. And building more efficient aircraft is in their best interest and ultimately fulfills that far left position.
Mm-hmm. There's one person who hasn't voted. Okay.
Well, before I vote again, I just thought of another issue. You know, how do you reduce overall airport emissions if the airport gets bigger and if you bring in more flights?
That's a good question.
I mean,
it doesn't make any sense. That's
well, I mean,
problem.
I just think the whole
it
question.
Doesn't apply.
The whole question.
But are you bringing
apply.
In
time
more? Here's a question. If you bring in the bigger planes who have more people, then can you take the same amount of people
on three flights down to two. So therefore, you are actually reducing your overall emissions in the end.
Yes.
And the newer jets are more
Again,
efficient.
Again, it's a wonderful question.
I didn't come up with it.
It's a wonderful question.
Next.
Yeah. I'll just put me right in the middle because okay. I don't think it matters.
Okay.
One way or the other.
Yeah. All right.
They're gonna get better and quieter and more fuel efficient no matter what we do.
It's just like cars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean cars in the '80s and cars versus cars now. Yeah. Okay. Noise.
I already know.
So
they really don't like noise over at that vision committee.
Do you want me to hold the other one up and you can just put the dots in the same spot?
Just replicate it.
Yeah, just replicate it.
Okay. Yes. All right.
You know,
I'm good with that.
You can reduce noise.
Are we really
level.
Actually good with that?
It's the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Same question.
I live in Brush Creek, right? You can see my house every time you take off and land. And I've never been like going, you know.
I used to live at the Airport Business Center.
I mean.
I heard a jet maybe once every, and we're talking 30 years ago, once every month.
Yeah.
You just, it's the noise isn't.
Actually.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Put mine at the far right. No, put it in the middle.
I think you had four way over to the
left. Yeah, you have
four over there.
Okay.
All right.
Well, anyway, yeah. I'm just playing along here. Yeah. But that said, I'm not going, it's not like New York.
Where did I go?
Sorry.
That looks fine.
I think you've got four
and
over
there. And we have
another one here.
One there and one way over there.
One way over here, correct?
And we have the noise ordinance, which is in effect. The FAA will not approve another noise ordinance. So we'll keep that one. We don't get the stage 2 aircraft. We get stage 3 unless the stage 2 have a modification called a hush kit. So the noise is kind of like out there.
Does this relate to the curfew, though, in terms of how many flights can come in? No?
Because there's noise, there's curfew, there's
noise intensity.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not, you know, not duration,
I mean,
or
okay.
Timing. Yeah.
Timing.
I live down from the tavern, and the only time we really hear a jet are the old private jets.
Okay.
And the F-16s.
The screamers and the F-16s that flew by yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Woody Creek got the raw end out of the entire airport. Yeah.
But there's some other things that might come into play here.
I'm a little further than that. They all turn and...
Because part of the airport experience, I mean, I flew just out last week out of Aspen, and sitting in front of the terminal waiting for my ride, I heard more traffic noise and RAFTA buses than I did airplanes. So could there be some type of a sound wall or something built in to give a better experience? I'm just saying this is more than just a superficial question. I think it's looking at it aspirationally in terms of how we want the... If I'm going to try to make this an experiential question, then I think we need to try to make it...
Maybe
quieter, like whether it's planes or external things.
Okay.
And don't let them tow anymore.
Right? Well, if it's that or risking somebody bringing something dangerous, I'd rather have them towed. So.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Can we make a request that whoever designs the airport is not the company that built these tables? Because I've hit my shin at least 3 times.
Yes, I agree.
So, okay. Not a well thought
I think we can
design.
Manage that. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So cocktails?
Do we meet back there at 6:30 now?
Them again?
Are there other folks?
We get to do it again.
Oh, there's more.
No.
No.
Not necessarily, but maybe... With Brian, Brian's nodding, so I think he knows where I'm going with this. So what they wanted us to do was do an initial vote, discuss it, and then re-vote to see if we moved the needle anywhere. If you all are in agreement that you're going to put your dots exactly where you put them the last time, why go through this process?
So if there was any influence from hearing the debate, would you modify your vote on the continuum?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of what Cindy said, I'd put my green dot more to the right for
for this issue.
So I really always
forget about that.
Can you?
Because by the time they build it,
yes, can
you need more space already.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
I mean, case in point, we just took a closet for our operation and turned it into a supervisor's office. Because we have no space.
They're gonna cut so much stuff out here that so, we'll be down to here.
If everybody can deal, I made a point when I got it. You can build a bigger terminal without designing it to maximize employment.
You were here, right? Yeah. Correct.
Right. So putting your dot all the way to the right to me says I want the maximum employments, I want the most amount of gates, and I don't know if that's necessarily what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I want the whole thing. I want to design
you want a big terminal with moderate employments.
Well, so I want it right-sized.
Hold it, Cindy. Let's hold on. We had some question here before you launch.
I just want to make sure that if you're making that decision, I'm trying to put myself in your head, and to me, just saying, well, I want it to be the biggest terminal possible, so I'm going to put my dot to the far right. I'm not sure if that, okay. To me, if that would be expressing that opinion.
Let me clarify. This is aspirational. When this thing actually gets built, it's going to come in for pricing. It's going to get cut. Lots of things are going to happen to that. I truly, and maybe I should put my blue thing back over, but they're going to a blue dot. Some her stuff is going to get cut. Everything is going to get cut. So I don't think that by saying that's actually going to happen.
The question's awkward because the question should really say: should we improve the facility to accommodate the current growth, or do we want to build it to accommodate more planes and more traffic? And that's not really what the question says, because to me, if you want to accommodate, this is saying bigger terminal, more planes, and that's not really what I think you're saying.
No. And also, I mean, there'll be somebody, punching the numbers and counting the beats.
But I get your idea.
Stuff.
You shoot for the moon, and
and they're going to take out Cindy's stuff, and they're going to go to their boss and say, I saved us $200,000.
Yep.
And they will not want to hear how that's been saved. They'll just be like, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we're going to be back in the same thing. Anyway.
Well, looking at looking at the options here, decreased capacity allows for a small terminal and 3 to 5 gates. Middle one says bigger terminal, 4 to 8 gates. Far right says bigger terminal, 8 to 12 gates. The answer is probably a blending in there of everything. You know, and maybe the ultimate design of the airport is in phases for the future. Maybe it's set up so that
I'm going to go a little farther right.
maybe it's designed to set up. Maybe it's designed to accommodate a phase one where a whole new terminal is built, but it's designed so that a phase two future can be built.
Okay.
Added on without tearing everything down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dallas
second
all
floor
these airports.
Is added. Mm-hmm. You know,
okay, so that comment gets to the actual building and functional aspects of it. I just have to interject because I know everyone in this room is really like, let's talk about the actual customer experience and the passenger experience and the terminal. And what you just got at hit on a really good thing whether something was valued engineered out or there's an affordability question, you might do it in phases.
Yeah.
You may not build the ultimate thing right away. Most airports don't do that. Mm-hmm. But they have a plan that if they want to continue rolling with some growth, well, here's how you could do it. That's another decision point. You know, maybe 15 years down the road.
Yeah.
But you'd set it up so that you could do it in phases.
That's well said. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Why not? Why are we being given three absolutes when who knows what the future is going to be? Who knows what the aircraft size is going to be or the frequency? Who knows what the technology is going to be? Maybe there's technology one day that everything lands. I know it sounds crazy, but maybe everything lands on autopilot, regardless of the weather. I don't know. But I do know that we need a new terminal. I do know that it's horrible the way it is right now from an experience and a logistics and operational. It's horrible. It needs to be redone. And so my suggestion is to concentrate on building it out
you know, to what's expected in the next 10 years, 15 years, but design it so that if the technology advances to where you need more gates, you expand the gates. If the actual terminal size needs to be increased, then you can increase the terminal size and the gates. And maybe none of that's necessary down the road. But I'd hate to see us with a terminal now that in 10 years we're back here going, you know, we should have built a bigger one. Yeah.
So I heard flexibility for future growth.
I think flexibility, that's probably part of it. But I think design is real critical. Design for phases so that when it's done, the first phase is done, everybody lives with it, what works, what doesn't work. You know, is the growth still going like this? Do we need more? You know, then get together again, and maybe then it becomes a phase two. But I just don't like the way we're given the choices again. They're not asking us what we want. They're just saying pick one, mm-hmm. pick one. And I don't think any of them work really. I think it's going to be a combination.
Most airports do what you are saying.
Yeah. I think Gary brings up
have a plan.
Yeah, and Gary brings up a good point that I mentioned last time. I think as technology increases, that we're going to see types of aircraft and technology that we can't even conceive. So if we build a huge, whatever it is, 8,000-foot-long runway with 100 feet in between, what happens 20 years from now when they have electric planes that can just land like a spaceship? And it sounds crazy, Jeff. You're
not.
And we don't need it. We could reduce and reforest that or reclaim it and turn it into natural space or, and so maybe thinking a little bit more conservatively and watching where technology goes and then adapting to that, but making sure that that is available. We may not, we may regret building a huge wide runway because we may not need it 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Jeff, you said, and Tom, can you check me on this? Sorry to put you on the spot. But the FAA gave Pitkin County the land for an airport in perpetuity, and so it always has to be an airport, correct? It always has to be used for an airport? Can it be used green space if we decide... I'm asking. I honestly do not know.
The FAA didn't buy it. The county did.
Okay.
But there's been enough money that's come from the FAA over time that it will always be an airport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The county, however, it is a county airport. The county could decide we don't want an airport anymore.
Okay.
So.
But can you take a portion of that land and make it? Open space
that you could put a park beside it, what if the planes are quiet,
because of the impacts of like noise and things on a federal park kind of a thing. There's an actual rule that regulates that, and that would be challenging.
No, that's, I was just asking.
If anybody remembers MIGS, which used to be on Lake Michigan in downtown Chicago, it's a really nice park right now. Mm-hmm. You can't go in between. It wasn't much use as an airport, so they converted it to a park. That's what they wanted to do. But they had to pay back the FAA all the money that they took.
Absolutely right.
Over a 20-year period.
I think I'm just thinking very obtusely Aspen is known for very creative, forward-looking thinking, and no one ever really looks at, they always look at, how do I make it bigger down the road? Who actually takes the time and says, how can I descale this down the road if I could and make it into a lesser impact on the community? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not realistic, but it was just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, given the... Given the current state of the aircraft industry, it looks like we either have to increase the width of the runway to allow the new generation jets in, or we don't, and then we lose our exemption, and then we go back in time, hoping down the road in the future, 5, 10, 20, 30 years, that it all works or doesn't work. My suggestion, again, is simply maybe they focus on phasing things and come up with a new terminal building that accommodates the, you know, the current and the future, the, you know, the foreseeable future, mm-hmm. given the foreseeable aircrafts, and have it designed so that there's a possible design in phase twos and threes if needed. If it's not needed, then it's not done.
Okay.
You know, yeah. and then we can move forward and figure out what the airport's going to look like.
Yeah. And put together, for example, say, let's go ahead and get approved an 80,000 square foot terminal.
Okay.
We're not going to use it. But it's approved. We don't have to go through this process again if we need it. So we build, say, a 60,000 square foot with additions in phases. Mm-hmm. Then we see what the aircraft does. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people here are old enough to remember the Jetsons, and I'm sorry, remember the little phone on the wrist? I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime, but we have it, okay? So what is jet aircraft going to look like in the future? Okay, it also boils down to aerodynamics. I'm also a pilot. How much airflow we have is really going to depend on what aircraft get in here. We're at high altitude. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the wingspan is going shorter. It's going wider. Mm-hmm. So widening that runway, moving it, from my knowledge of what has happened here at this airport, my knowledge of the aircraft, it's the only option that we're really going to be looking at. It's how we're going to envision the terminal and everything else that makes it something we can all live with.
And aren't we at risk of losing the FAA funding if we do nothing?
Yes.
Totally.
So.
But anyway, that decision is made above our pay grade.
Yeah. Correct. Yes.
Because here you get what you pay for.
Correct.
John, unless somebody else is familiar, but I always, and maybe I could be completely wrong, but somebody told me once that DIA was designed, that they could actually build at least, I think, two more runways.
Six.
And they could, the way it's designed, A, B, and C terminal, that there could be a D concourse and an E. So it's kind of built on that same philosophy, mm-hmm. that they built it for what they thought at the time, but they bought enough land, smartly mm-hmm. enough at the time, mm-hmm. to where they could
Alley.
Expand yeah. in the future.
In Tornado Alley.
Right?
So, Aaron, you said six more runways?
Yeah, the master plan of Denver is 12 runways, all 12,000 feet long, none intersecting, so...
And they've got plenty of space to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They have 600 acres of unused space.
Well, they're already, like, over what they projected for traffic.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hence why they're expending all the concourses right now.
So with the concept that Gary brings up of not having to do... This doesn't have to be the terminal for 30 years.
No.
It can be the terminal for 10 with the ability to grow it and design it for whatever the needs
or
are
decrease.
At that point.
Or decrease.
And that's how you get a consensus. So why go...
This may be inappropriate, but my hometown airport, that's what they did. It was three gates while I was growing up. And I walked out onto the apron area and watched the planes take off and land and that kind of thing. And then Southwest decided they wanted to come in there, and they added more gates. And now it's up to, I think, 15 gates last time I was there. Because they did that.
I have the expansion comment.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I got it down, and I will represent that because it seemed like there was clear consensus on that.
And I don't know who's been here has been to Colorado Springs. But the right size is very important because Colorado Springs, in my opinion, overbuilt. They had an entire part of their terminal empty. And if you've ever been in an airport where you're wandering around where there's not a soul to ask a question to, you get the idea of an overbuilt airport.
Oh, like Grand Junction.
No, that one's not. In the high season, that one's...
Yes,
Montrose. How about Montrose? Is that overbuilt?
I haven't been there in a long time.
I envision what you're saying, though. There are times when you go into Grand Junction and it's a...
Yeah, it's a ghost town.
Yeah, it's a ghost town. So having that all the time doesn't...
Yeah.
Takes away, I'm sure Eliza would agree.
So the right size is very important.
Why is no one here and why did I pay so much to get here?
Mm-hmm. The issue that, you know, a lot of people are thinking, you know, the Kevin Costner movie, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
They're already here. Mm-hmm.
They are.
There's not enough really more bed space for many more.
Yeah.
And whatever. That's another argument and another discussion.
So we have any more movement on voting?
Two people. Not a lot.
I see you.
Not a lot. Not a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Again, it's going to be used against us no matter what we do.
I know.
Where's the box for phasing?
We have the comment.
Okay.
Yes.
So I mean, I with that in mind, I'm just going to say right in the middle.
Okay. Okay.
Because again, I don't know.
Yes.
I don't think we know.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we have.
Do we want to go through noise? Do we want to go through air quality?
I think so. Well, you want to pick color and tile out? Or?
Be sure you center the fixtures on the joints.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay.
These are really good comments, you guys, and I really appreciate it because and I understand it's frustrating. I think the county and our team is just trying to get an understanding of the magnitude of what the development will be before we can get into kind of the nuts and bolts of these different what these different groups will provide. So,
if they continue down this path of absolutes, mm-hmm. then it's going to be an S-turn.
Got it.
Question. You'll never get a consensus. And I just think that's wrong. I think we should learn from the S turn,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just say, you know, find something that satisfies what we don't know might happen without going crazy.
Build it for the next 10
we
years.
We don't know
and
what
see
we
what
don't
happens.
Know.
Yeah, we don't know
what
we don't know. Can I quote you on that?
Yeah, we don't know what we don't know.
There you go. Great.
We have some time.
Yes.
So I've got what I need and I can report out.
Do we have to go back to the city?